of how we show ourselves on the market, in the marketplace.
This one's pretty invisible. This one's pretty invisible, but our purpose is enabling human emergence in support of. So we have a very functional outcome that we're working with, and it's in support of one viable planet where humanity chooses to be the guardian of effective ecosystem processes. That's what brings me here. So today we're going to have an exploration of the pull of communion. It's a strange title, but I'm using the language from the primary research that was done by Claire Graves. And the more I live with this, the more I realise the importance of really allowing ourselves time to redefine the language that we use. That word itself may trigger a thought process within you. And there's four things I want to cover today. I want to just set the context for teal. And I'm going to use spiral dynamics colours as yellow, so when you hear yellow, think teal. That they theoretically they're synonymous, but practically we just need to have a look at that. So I'm going to look at a universal context. How does this arise in universe, and what are the patterns that we need to be aware of? And I'm going to elicit the patterns in the room. For me, theory is valid only when we can recreate it in an audience, and we're going to touch some aspects of that in the audience. And we're going to spend some time just looking at the attributes of second tier. And then towards the end, this is my challenge for us all in the room, include myself, what is it we really want? So I'm here at the conference because I'm looking for those with whom we can collaborate. So for many, it might be that we're going into a space where the miracle occurs, but we're going to go and explore very practically, experientially, what this all means. Now, at one level, when we're working in this way, and I'm going to offer you some exercises, I'm going to invite you to hold the mirror up to yourself and ourselves. Distinct dynamic between the two aspects, self and the group. Would someone read this? Would someone like to read it? Preferably in English, it helps. Mark. And I want this to be different. I want this to go right to the core of the conversation from a conversation of universe. We've gone into a field effect with Eros and the other aspects of the core dynamics of universe. But I want to bring in some words from Claire Graves from the mid-1970s. When he said that, remember, that human nature does not exist in the tissues of the human being. It comes to exist in the biochemical, social, environmental field. So much of our conversation today is going to be exploring those fields that we are swimming in every moment. A multiplicity of fields, I call it a cacophony of fields, and we're going to go into places that we don't currently in society have reliable language for. So it means that we're going to take some time for you to work out what it means for yourself, but also offer some definitions that may well be helpful. And Joseph Campbell, one of Joseph Campbell's mentors, Heinrich Zimmer, told Joseph, he said, remember, in your work as an anthropologist, remember that the best things cannot be told. That is to say, you really can't talk about that which lies beyond the reach of words. Now, how many of you occasionally struggle to find the words to explain what you're experiencing? So you've got that experience in the room. I also want you to be aware, as we go through this, and I'm asking you to do little things, I want you to be aware of the quality of the tingle that goes up and down your spine. There's a very technical term here. It's called your ihi. It's the tingle that goes up and down your spine. And certainly when you raised your hands, my ihi was moving up and down my spine. So I want you to assess the quality, validity, and what you experience in this room by or through your ihi. Okay? I'm just checking that we've all got ihi. Now, Marcus Druin's done a fantastic little exercise out in the lobby where he's giving you this image and he's inviting you all to go and look at it and just tell you what you think, just offer your view on what you see. And I want to bring it into the room because I want to use this as the slide before the exercise I want you to do. But I want you to prepare you for it. I want you to be aware of what's your present state. I want you to be aware of, in this moment, what you're experiencing, what it's like to be in this room, all the thoughts that are passing through your mind. And as I show you the next slide, I use this as a bit of an exam. It helps me gauge how far we can go and how deep we can go in the presentations. And I want you to be aware of, when you're working with this picture, what you experience. The joy, the elation, the struggle, the tension, because you may well experience all of those as you work with this next picture. But my invitation to you all, and because we've only got one microphone, I'm either going to have to run around or invite you to the front, so I'm warning you, I'm going to ask you to move. I want you to tell me what you see. I just want to know what you see. What do you see? A person lying on the ground. Heinz, come on. Come and show us a person lying on the ground.
So it's lying in the grass. Here is the grass. And here is a person. It's more or less a shadow of a person.
Are there any distinguishing features? Nose or face?
No, the face is upwards, so you don't see it.
Lying in the grass. Can you all see that?
Now, can I just check you can all see a black and white image on the screen? Okay, so we've got Heinz has given us a person lying on the grass. What else does anyone else see?
It looks like an aerial view of snow slopes.
An aerial view of
snow slopes.
Please. So I noticed there's some heckling from the back of the room, and remember, this is an integral conference.
Well, I've just said, yes, it looks...
Well,
it looks like an aerial... These are the higher slopes, and this is where there's wood area or rocks. It looks quite high up, and this is more rocks over here. But I'm not sure.
Well, you do realise... What was your name?
Johnine.
Johnine, if we take the action research part of this image, I've used this now for nearly 20 years... Over 80% of the people in the room that we've surveyed believe this is an aerial map and a landscape. I wondered if it was part of Australia. What else does anybody see? Anybody else see?
Distorted world map, maybe from the old days before the continent separated.
A distorted world map from the old days before the continent separated. Okay. So we've all, there's a hand at the back. I could hear the voice from the back, but I couldn't see the hand from the back.
A cow.
A cow. Oh, a cow.
A cow.
A cow. You really are going to have to come and show us. No, you really do need to come and show us. It's okay. I'm preparing. It's magic. Now, which country are you from?
Ukraine.
Now, I just need to... Oh, please, it's okay. I know it's... I just want to check with all of you that you all know what a cow looks like. Is that true? Because we have this crazy woman from the Ukraine who's telling us that despite all your perspectives of maps, of coastlines, people lying in the grass, pre-tectonic movements... But perhaps there's one amongst us that can see something that none of us can. Show us the cow. What's your name?
Lada.
Lada.
Can you imagine this is a cow facing to you and here at the back? Okay, so... Just imagine that this is the right eye, the kind of left eye, I don't know what this is. Yeah. The forehead.
It's so clear.
just come here. Now, who at the moment, we look out into the audience, just do an assessment of how many people can see the cow, how many are struggling. So how many can see the cow? Let's have a show of hands. Okay, so there's some that haven't seen it yet. So perhaps they learn differently to just hearing the information and you pointing it out. So what I'd like you to do is just model. She's called Mabel. Mabel. I want you to just model. There's an observational learning style in the rooms that there's some people might need. So I want you to just model how Mabel is stood, please.
Mabel is stood?
Yes.
You mean like the back?
You can't do it all, but you can do a bit. Okay. And how's she looking?
She's looking.
Okay. So that's how. So I actually lost a contract when I used this slide on the first date with the client, because the client couldn't see the cow, and I really, everyone else in the room except the client. So we've got the left eye, the right eye, the snout of the cow coming towards you, the wet nose, the forehead, and this is the flank, the body of the cow. She's called Mabel, and she's looking at you like that. Okay. Now, if you haven't seen the cow yet, you can relax. You can come and look at her later on. But there's a serious message behind this, and I want you to just be aware of what you experienced when you saw the cow. Be aware of where the movement within you started, because we saw it expressed in voice and expression and movement, but be aware of the complexity of the process that you experienced as your eyes and brain processing gifts fitted the information to your memory of cow. Sometimes in Texas, if I use this, they said, "We thought you said cow," and I say, "I did." And they said, "Our cows have horns." So there's a serious message. Henry Bergson says, look, the eye can only see what the mind can comprehend. If you'd never seen a cow, your mind would be still stretching, searching, trying to fit this data to the information. And the mind, going deeper, and this is one of my quotes, the mind can only comprehend what its capacities will allow. So when we're working with this question that Ken Wilber posed, where in universe does teal come from, we're going to go deep. We're going to go deep into this conversation around capacities and the complex adaptive intelligences that underpin the human species. And it's quite light and it's quite fun. It's not going to be that serious. But Gregory Bateson says it all. The pattern of patterns, the pattern that connects, is the pattern of all patterns. And what differentiates Graves' work more than all in this field is that he really went down to the core patterns, the core codes. And as you saw in the earlier quote, when he's talking about fields, that consciousness doesn't exist within us, he talks about the impact of the neurochemical changes that occur with each stage of development. So you went through a neurochemical change when you saw the cow. So we can do it in the room. But what we're talking here is about the deeper processes that lead to neurochemical changes that lead to shifts in worldviews. So think about the life conditions. Think about the world around you. Think about back home, think about the news. Just get a sense of the world around you. We had mentioned earlier of Mr. Trump in the main auditorium, but we've all got our Mr. Trumps in some shape or form. So just think about the challenge. And Buckminster Fuller, back in 1978, was scanning the environment and he's saying, uh-oh, something's not set right here. There needs to be some fundamental change in our species, because we need 98% change or we'll face 98% extinction. How many of you get a sense of that as a valid statement? It's certainly becoming a bit fragile. And it's difficult for us to experience it when we're sat in a 4-star hotel with the air conditioning and so on, and we have all the luxuries of a very materialistic world to keep us supported. Not decrying it, I'm just saying be aware of our sensory capability. Now, I'm going to show you a slide, and what I want you to do, it's got 9 statements on it, and I want you to think based on your examination of your life conditions, which one of these statements most closely aligns with your experience of your perspective of life conditions? Which one most closely aligns? And I just need to get my pen. And I'm going to ask you all just to go along your rows and shout out a number which reflects the sentence on the screen here. And just bear with me. If you see me put your mark up, we'll know it's time to move on. And I'm going to start back in the Ukrainian corner. Is that the Ukrainian corner over here? Oh, they've gone. Okay. So, say again? I will do that. I apologize. Oh, yeah, I apologize. So just read, ponder, and you'll find you may be drawn to a particular sentence. Others you'll think, well, that's completely crazy. What I'm interested in is which one of these statements, and you might have to think a bit, most closely affects your experience, your experience of life conditions. Earth's viability collapses. Earth's viability is threatened. A chaotic organism, change and uncertainty. A shared human habitat, liberation of humans from greed and dogma. The good life, enhanced living through science and technology. Our destiny is determined. The truth provides structure and order. Like a jungle, the strong prevail and the weak submit. Physical and spirit realms overlap. Collaborate for safety and survival. As nature, instinctual biological urges and drives. So, I'd like to start in the back corner. And if you just shout out your number, is it Lada? Start with you. Which number most closely reflects the life conditions as you experience them? Okay, so move on to the next one. Five. Next. Nine. Hi, Zerin. Next. Eight. Just shout out. Five. Hang on, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, Have we done everybody? Excuse me? Three? Did someone say four? Four. Okay, so we have a pattern. Seven.
One.
Okay. Crazy. Any more? You can always add them later. But what I want you to work with is the patterns in the room. I want to explore the patterns in the room. Your perspectives in this context are critical when we're exploring organizational change and development. So I want to turn to what's important to you, what's really important to you. And I'd just like you to make a note, and I do have a post-it pad that I can pass around, and you'll all put the words on later. But just until the pad gets to you, what I'd like you to do is just make a note on your computer or on your pad, your responses to this question. What's important to you about being here? I don't want you to discuss with the partner at this stage. Well, actually, yes, I do. Go for it. Just discuss what's important to you about being here.
Here in this room.
About being here in this room, to this presentation. If you take one and pass it on, take one and pass it back. And write it on there, but the key thing is just have a quick conversation with the person next to you. So just focus on writing it up, first of all. We certainly don't have enough time, and I'm going to take 8 more minutes, please. I need 8 minutes to finish my little piece. And just make a note on the post-it. We don't need it this moment. I just want you to have the experience of having that conversation in this room now. Because what we're eliciting in this room is some of the patterns that exist within us all. And as you scan through here, what I've got is a summary of the stages of development, the existential states that were mapped by Claire Graves and became popularized through spiral dynamics. The research, you remember, started in 1950 and it's still ongoing. We still maintain the research through 5 Deep. Each nodal capacity, so each of these is a node. It's a fleeting moment, as fleeting as you spotting the cow. But it has a capacity, it has a theme of existence. So when this particular capacity is active within the individual, they will live by physiological means. When this particular theme is active, they will seek assurance. They will experience assurance. And so survival, security, independence, affiliation, existence. And in turquoise, which is really not talked about too much, the key theme of that existential state is communion. Now, what does that really mean? It means that we started out here with a journey when 120,000 years ago, we reacted instinctively. We also, about 40,000 years ago, developed a capacity to work together on a larger scale, largely because of changes in the life conditions. So the life conditions of purple were largely natural. Right the way through to the integrative flow and the joy of existence of yellow, that integrate and align systemically for the benefit of all life. So the pull of communion perhaps is a representation of a journey. Perhaps there is a story to be told on the journey that we are on. Perhaps this interaction between who we are, our personality, and the deep patterns within us is part of our coping means, the interaction between who we are and the life conditions, both inner and outer, in the world in which we live. So we explored the life conditions briefly. But the imagery I want to offer you is that as we sit in this room, we're all scanning not only what's going on in the room, we're all scanning all aspects of the universe. We may or may not be aware of it. We may yet have not learned to fit the patterns to the underlying master code, the scheme of the code, but we're all taking information from universe. How many of you checked your astrological charts this morning before you came out to come into the workshop? How many of you carry good luck charms in your pockets? See? We have many ways of bringing information in to create that state that allows us to go into this dynamic. So the life conditions, cosmic, Gaian, cultural, social, family, psychological, biological, are balancing against these codes, these intelligences that exist within us that leave behind these patterns of themes that we've seen on the previous slide. And what pops out on the surface are all the visible things that you've just written down on your pieces of paper. So as you've done that little exercise and written down your words, you're expressing mimetically the expression of the complex adaptive intelligences that are active within you in this moment. We spend all of our life looking at the surface, looking at the behaviours, looking at the patterns on the surface, all useful and helpful. But what's important to remember is there's no direct correlation between what's going on up there and what's going on down here. But it also means that if we bring back in the mapping that you worked on in terms of life conditions, I want you to be aware of where your mind went to and which word drew you to that particular assessment of life conditions. Because in terms of the overall mapping, as best we know, the relationship between the priorities of how we think relate to the life conditions that we are living within. So I want you to be aware of, certainly for this group here, how you were drawn to perhaps key words that were showing on the surface, but perhaps the meaning needs to be understood more fully. But also paradoxically, the focus here on number 8 is actually a link to put to turquoise. So I could spend all afternoon with you. I could spend all week with you, but I don't intend to do that. What I want to do now is just spend the time and just close with this little phrase. If we were to go back to, oopsie-daisy, if we were to go to this conversation around turquoise, what words would we use to elicit a state in this room? And I'm going to use a quote from Ken Wilber, if I can get there, which is all safely lined up, and then I'll finish. So this book, A Theory of Everything, is the book. Instead of a business card, I used to just refer people to that book, and I say, well, it's difficult for me to explain what we do, but I suggest you read this book, and then give me a call, send me an email, and I'll give you a page to read, and if you get a tingle up and down your spine, it means we can work together. So I'd like to read this, and I'd like to really embrace these words, because the truths in these words are a reflection of a communion which is beyond our normal comprehension. In the end, we will find, I believe, the inherent joy in existence itself, a joy that stands cascade to infinity and back, never lacking and never wanting, because all is fulfilled in the brilliance that is now. Having served its purpose, is finally outshined by the radiance of a spirit that is much too obvious to see and much too close to reach. And the integral search finally succeeds by letting go of the search itself, there to dissolve in a radical freedom and consummate fullness that was always already the case, so that one abandons a theory of everything in order simply to be everything. One with the all, in this endless awareness that holds the cosmos kindly in its hand. And then the true mystery yields itself. The face of spirit secretly smiles. The sun rises in your very own heart and the earth becomes your very own body. Galaxies rush through your veins while the stars light up the neurons of your night. And never again will you search for a mere theory of that which is actually your own original face. Thank you.